Mad Honey pulls us into the quiet town of Adams, New Hampshire, where Olivia Fields has rebuilt her life as a beekeeper after escaping an abusive marriage. The parallel between beekeeping and human relationships emerges immediately. Both require patience, understanding natural patterns, and accepting that some things remain beyond control. When Olivia finds a bear has destroyed one of her hives, she desperately tries to save the remaining bees by finding the queen and placing her in a new hive. This foreshadows the coming destruction in her human life, where her son Asher's girlfriend, Lily, will soon be found dead at the bottom of her stairs. Like the threatened bee colony, the family's carefully constructed new life may not survive the winter ahead. Olivia's relationship with her teenage son Asher carries the weight of their shared past. Having fled in the night from Brayden, Asher's abusive father, they've spent years carefully constructing a safe haven. Their bond is close, but evolving as Asher grows into young adulthood, becoming the hockey team captain and falling for the new girl in town. When Lily is found dead and Asher becomes the prime suspect, Olivia's protective instincts surge forward. Haven't they suffered enough? The desperation in her voice when she calls her brother Jordan, a defense attorney, reveals everything. "You told me to call you the next time I need help. I need help." Her voice breaks on the last word, carrying the weight of a mother's worst fear. Lily Campanello and her mother Ava move to Adams for a fresh start after escaping an abusive father. A talented cellist, Lily quickly draws Asher's attention. Unknown to others, her friendship bracelets conceal scars from a suicide attempt following traumatic bullying when her transgender identity was exposed at her previous school. In New Hampshire, Lily passes as a cisgender girl, having had early medical intervention. Her struggle echoes in her thoughts. "Just be yourself," they say, as if that's the easiest thing in the world, when for some people, it's the very thing that puts them most at risk. She had chosen to live invisibly rather than honestly, only to discover invisibility was no protection at all. The novel uses beekeeping as a metaphor for human connection, a beehive's collective intelligence, where knowledge is shared, opinions are offered, decisions are made collectively, contrasts sharply with how communities can ostracize individuals. Lily's journey explores true belonging. Though she passes as cisgender, she questions her place in the transgender community. She avoids the school's Rainbow Alliance, refusing to be labeled as the emblematic trans girl, yet finds unexpected kinship with Elizabeth, a transgender woman who owns Edgar's Music. As their relationship develops, troubling parallels emerge between Asher's behavior and his father's abusive patterns. During a drive home after meeting Brayden, Asher erupts in anger when Lily suggests his father is manipulating him, accelerating to nearly 100 miles per hour. Later, at a fencing tournament, he grabs her arm hard enough to leave finger-shaped bruises when he sees her embracing an ex-boyfriend. These incidents reveal Asher's capacity for jealousy and violence, making Lily question whether their relationship is as perfect as it sometimes seems. Asher's greatest fear haunts him. "Whatever I am is part him," he tells Lily, revealing his anxiety about inheriting his father's violent tendencies. When the prosecution later builds their case around these incidents, the question becomes unavoidable. Can someone who witnessed abuse as a child break the cycle, or are they destined to repeat it? After Asher's arrest, former friends avoid him, and strangers harass him based on media reports. Isn't it strange how quickly we turn on each other when fear and suspicion take hold? 6 days after Lily's death, Asher is arrested and charged with first-degree murder. The evidence seems damning. His fingerprints in her room, despite his claim he hadn't gone upstairs, and his final text to her, "This ends now, I'm coming over." The medical examiner testifies that Lily died from intracerebral hemorrhage caused by blunt force trauma consistent with being hit, shoved, or pushed downstairs. The trial takes a dramatic turn when the examiner reveals the uterus and ovaries were absent. The deceased was transgender. This revelation stuns everyone, especially Jordan, who appears completely lost for words. The prosecution's narrative shifts to suggest Asher killed Lily in a trans panic after learning her truth. The trial divides the community, with longtime friends choosing sides. The Sunday farmers market, once a place of friendly gatherings, becomes tense with whispered accusations and averted gazes. How quickly we turn on each other when fear and suspicion take hold. 3 weeks after Asher's acquittal, Maya makes an unannounced visit that changes everything. When she casually mentions, "Lily told you it was over," Olivia's investigative instincts kick in. The seemingly throwaway comment reveals a hidden depth to the relationships, leading to a devastating confession. Maya had gone to Lily's house, consumed by jealousy over Lily's relationship with Asher. The confrontation escalated when Maya grabbed for Lily's phone, resulting in a push, a stumble, and Lily's fatal fall down the stairs. The bitter irony cuts deep. Lily didn't die because of who she was, but because of who she loved. Her death wasn't a hate crime targeting her transgender identity, but stemmed from the age-old human emotion of jealousy. Isn't it strange how we construct elaborate narratives around tragedy, often missing the simplest explanations? Throughout the investigation, everyone fixated on Lily's transgender identity, assuming it must be central to her death, when in reality, she died because of a common human drama of love and jealousy. 10 months after Lily's death, Olivia tends to her beehives, preparing them for winter. When Ava Campanello arrives with a packed car, their encounter resonates with shared grief. Ava plans to hike the Appalachian Trail, walking north until she finds somewhere that feels like home. "I lost a son once," she says quietly, "but that was okay because I gained a daughter, but now I have nothing." Olivia offers her a jar of dark, rich, late summer honey, which Ava, despite her lifelong dislike of honey, accepts gracefully. Asher's graphic design work evolves from dark imagery to designs blending shadow and light. Mike and Olivia's relationship deepens with careful tenderness, embracing love's imperfect nature. When Asher finally accepts Lily being transgender, he tells her, "I don't ever have to pretend with you." Like nature's cycles of destruction and renewal, their story shows how healing creates something new, not a return to what was, but the discovery of authentic connection and acceptance.